Wow. That Jim Garlow, he speaks the truth. May have a chance to chat with him about his new book next week, Well Versed, where he addresses many important topics, hot button issues in our culture. 36 past the hour, Bill Meyer with you. It's a pro-life group with a very unique mission. It's called the Hosea Initiative. And joining us is Terry Beatley. She's the president and the founder of that organization. Good morning, Terry. Welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning. So glad to be with you, Dr. Meyer.
So tell us a little bit about the Hosea Initiative. Let's start with the story behind the name. Why Hosea?
The name Hosea, of course, that comes from the book in the Bible, Hosea, H-O-S-E-A. A lot of people are unfamiliar with it. He was one of the ancient prophets. And it comes from the line in that book, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that's indeed what's happening in the United States of America. We've been sold so many lies wrapped up in all sorts of altruistic language. But when we cut through the lies and get to the truth, we realize that people really are perishing because we don't have the truth.
Boy, that is so well said. And what a great verse to choose to represent your organization. How did you personally get involved in the pro-life movement, Terry?
Dr. Meyer, I was like many, many millions of Americans in which I was not a pro-life activist, nor was I pro-abortion. I was sort of ambivalent for the majority of my life. I'm 53, and I didn't start learning about this issue and the lies, particularly that women had been sold, until I was in my early 40s. I knew I could never personally have an abortion, but so therefore I thought the issue had nothing to do with me. So I was sort of apathetic. And then I left the corporate world, where I had a thriving career to do what radical feminists say I would be miserable at doing, which was to stop my big thriving career and stay home with my two little children and homeschool them. And it was during that time frame when I was teaching them about American history and how, you know, in the Civil War, I just started thinking, wait a minute, how did we overcome the Civil War and slavery, where we dehumanized, you know, Black Americans, and only to embrace killing babies in the womb? And honestly, it perplexed me. So I started researching, and then I realized, wait a minute, well, Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider now in the world. Well, that led me to learning about a doctor by the name of Dr. Bernard Nathanson. And if you're interested, I'm prepared to tell your audience about who this man is was.
You know, I think this is a fascinating story because Bernard Nathanson, I think we would say was kind of the father of the pro-abortion movement, the man who
Absolutely.
Really got NARAL underway. So, yeah, tell me about Bernard, because I know you actually met him and interviewed him. So let's start with the beginning of the story. This guy was an abortion doctor.
Yes, and he's no insignificant person. So I want to tell your listening audience what led up to this interview, because it's key to our walk with the Lord and being obedient, being open to what the Lord tells us to do. I had researched the history of the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood, and there's a great book called Grand Illusion by George Grant. I read that book four or five times, and I started sharing the information with people, and about 4 years later, I went into the church I was attending, the prayer vigil, and signed up for the first hour. And during that prayer vigil, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do with this head full of information and all this data that I gathered? And I was very open to what the Lord would direct me to do, but not knowing what he was going to say. And all I got back numerous times during that hour was, go and interview Dr. Bernard Nathanson, the father of the abortion industry. You know, and I knew the doctor who trained Planned Parenthood. And I told God for the next 15 or 20 minutes how he has the wrong woman for the job. But I knew all of my reasons were, you know, had been defeated. And I'm not making this up. This is exactly how it rolled out, because I was just a little homeschool mom from Virginia with no plan whatsoever. But within 2 weeks, I located his telephone number, called up there, and cutting to the chase, the doctor, who was terminally ill with cancer, 83 years old, he agreed to allow me to come to New York and interview him for about an hour. Now, for your listening audience, what's so important is This was just not one more abortionist. He was the father of the modern day abortion industry in America. He was known as the abortion king. He co-founded the most powerful political action organization, which is all about abortion, called NARAL. Today it's called NARAL Pro-Choice America, N-A-R-A-L, which stood back then for the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Law. He personally aborted 5,000 babies. He taught doctors how to kill babies on another 10,000 babies. And then when he ran, when they flipped the anti-abortion law in the state of New York, this is 3 years before Roe v. Wade, Dr. Nathanson ran the largest abortion facility in the Western Hemisphere, with another 60,000 children losing their lives under his watch. And he called himself the keeper of the abortion industry keys. And so to learn his story is to learn how our entire nation, including enough of the Supreme Court justices, how this one man and his team of moral thugs, as he calls them, medical moral thugs, deceived the United States Supreme Court. And so it's very significant, because what happened to him after they got abortion legalized in America, it took basically 3 years of a very deceptive propaganda campaign. 2 months later, he had already quit NARAL because he was just exhausted being OBGYN and a lobbyist and all this. He went to be the chief of obstetrics in St. Luke's Hospital in New York, where he was birthing babies and aborting babies at the hospital. But the hospital rolled in a brand new technology called real-time ultrasound. And when Dr. Nathanson, the abortion king, saw that baby on real-time ultrasound for the very first time, he recognized his second patient. And right then and there, he began to have a change of heart. He knew he was murdering. And the story picks up from there.
That is so stunning. And, we've heard the story over and over again, how it was modern ultrasound technology that began to change hearts and minds of people involved, at least those that were open-minded, like Dr. Nathanson. And what happened with him emotionally at that time? What did he tell you during that interview?
That's a great question. The interview was very, very, I want to use the word like dark. It was just very heavy, obviously, because this man's dying of terminal cancer. Now, he lived for another year, but he's very, very ill, 83 years old. And so what happened to him after he began getting this pro-life conversion, pardon me, he was still an atheist Jewish man. And so this is in 1975, January, actually on the second year anniversary of Roe v. Wade. He submits his resignation letter to NARAL, which I have a copy of, and that's part of my story, or part of my book. But then by 1979, he couldn't figure out any reason why a woman would have to kill her child, maybe provide the child a life through adoption, but not to kill the child, even in these tough cases, rape, incest, all that. So then he goes into years of darkness. He's contemplating suicide. And then around 1984, he partners up he asks an abortionist friend of his if the doctor would videotape what's happening during an abortion, what's actually going on inside the womb. And so they filmed the video footage of what is today known as the silent scream. Well, let me tell you, what they saw on this video footage, and the abortionist, Dr. Jay Kellenson, it made him quit doing abortions that day.
Wow.
He never performed another abortion, because what they saw was this little, I think the video was done on a 11-week-old baby, 11 or 12 weeks. The baby knows that the baby recoils from the suction tube, and this is even before the suction tube punctures the sac, the amniotic sac. So the baby's moving away. The heartbeat goes through the roof, and so the words of Dr. Nathanson are: "This is the image of a child threatened imminently with extinction." And so from that point on, they made the movie. It went out. It was even shown to Ronald Reagan at the White House. and it caused gyrations through the pro-choice movement because there was now real scientific evidence that there is something happening in the womb, and we, as Americans and as Christians, we're not hearing those silent screams. That's what Dr. Nathanson wanted America to know, in addition to a whole lot more.
We'll continue with that story of Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Terry Beatley is our guest. She's the president and founder of a wonderful organization called the Hosea Initiative. We'll talk to her more after this on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. 49 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with Terry Beatley. She is the president and founder of the organization Hosea Initiative. We're talking about how we can be more effective in our arguments, discussions with those who might be pro-abortion in this country. And Terry was, well, let's pick up the story. We were talking about Dr. Bernard Nathanson, really the father of the modern day abortion movement in America, the guy who founded NARAL and had an amazing change of heart after he saw ultrasound images, after the ultrasound technology, real-time ultrasound was developed, and Dr. Nathanson, who had performed many, many, many abortions, suddenly realized this is a baby in there. This is a live human being. Now, in your interview with him, you mentioned that it was like a year away from dying of cancer, and this guy was... Where was he emotionally, looking back on his past and all that he had done?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dr. Nathanson, you know, when he for the first time saw the baby on real-time ultrasound, like I said, he was a Jewish atheist man. And he made a point that, he said that, Terry, God didn't change his heart then. Of course, I think he knows that God was working on him, but the point he was trying to make was that it was the science that changed his mind. So even atheists, you know, non-believing people, can still recognize the humanity. They don't have to be believers. You and I know, we know that God already writes it on our hearts. So he went for years really being, suicidal for a number of years back in the 80s and the early 90s. His path crossed in 1990 with a Catholic priest named Father C. John McCloskey. And for 5 years, Father McCloskey was the spiritual counselor for Dr. Nathanson. And Dr. Nathanson slowly, with the help of Father McCloskey, stopped thinking about suicide. And then he received Jesus Christ in 1996. And so he became a believer and completely turned his life over to the Lord, and his, you know, not only Savior, but Jesus became the Lord of his life. So Savior and Lord. And I mean, he testified boldly that in Christ was the victory, and Christ is the victory. And so because he couldn't get rid of all the baggage. I mean, because by the time I interviewed him, America was up to like 52 million abortions at that point. Now we're hitting 60 million. This is what he knew he was leaving behind. But I learned something from him that day. You know, we've heard it, you know, for years as believers, you know, suffering with Christ. Dr. Nathanson knew that he was saved, but he gave me a greater appreciation for what it means to suffer with Christ. You know, because it would be almost bizarre for him to have just, okay, received Christ and, know that he's saved, you know, wipe his hands and go play golf, you know, for the rest of his life and just be. He suffered with Christ. He suffered with the women who still choose to have abortion, even though he tried for so long to get the truth out. So at the end of the interview, and I didn't go up there for this. I only went up there because the Lord said, go interview him. I went up there with a list of questions. I wanted to be able to tell my audiences, and I was just a little small pro-life group, you know, that I'd interviewed him, and this is what he said. But what was unexpected was I felt such compassion for Dr. Nathanson at the end of that interview. Because he's just this little old man, you know, had lost, I'm sure, you know, 30, 40 pounds. He's sitting on this huge sofa, and he suffered from anxiety attacks, so his hand would shake so badly. At the end of the interview, I said, Dr. Nathanson, if you have a message for America, I promise you I will deliver it across America until it becomes common knowledge or until Roe v. Wade is overturned, whichever one comes first. And he paused, and your listeners need to know, this man on an academic level was a brilliant man. He had a photographic memory, so well read. There's probably a book that he'd never read. He probably read any significant book. Anyway, and he said, and he paused, and I thought, okay, this man's really thinking of something. And he said, yes. He said, continue teaching America. He said, continue teaching the strategy of how I deceived America, and then tell America that the co-founder of NARAL says, and this is a key thing, says to love one another. Abortion's not love. Stop the killing. The world needs more love, and I'm all about love now.
Beautiful.
And this is the message he left behind, and this is the message I am working. I'm devoted to Jose Initiative. Our slogan is bringing healing truth to a broken world devoured by lies. We haven't even gone over what the lies are yet. That's maybe another interview. I have all of this compiled in a book that I've written, and maybe we can talk about that if there's time.
You know what I'd love to do, Terry, we are out of time for today, but I'd love to have you come back and we can kind of go through. Obviously, Dr. Nathanson had this 8-point strategy when he founded NARAL, and it was really a deceptive strategy. And unfortunately, millions of Americans have bought into that, and even some Christians believe some of those lies. And so what I'd love to do, I know your book is coming out this fall. The name of the book is called What If We've Been Wrong? And Terry, maybe we can have you back and we can get into some of this. I think it's for all of us who are committed to the pro-life movement in America. We need to understand what these lies are so we can respond to them. By the way, you can go to Terry's website to learn more about this as well, the Hosea Initiative. Hosea Initiative. Terry Beatley, thank you so much for your time this morning, for your heart, because I can hear in your words how compassionate you are, how passionate you are about this issue. So thank you, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you for having me. All right. Bye.